Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This morning's sermon is based on the gospel lesson from Luke chapter 6. And Jesus spoke a parable to them. Can the blind lead the blind? Will they not both fall into the ditch? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone who is perfectly trained will be like his teacher. And we pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, sanctify us by thy truth. Thy word is truth. Amen. Christ starts out this text by reminding his disciples that the coin of Jesus' realm, the medium of exchange, is forgiveness and mercy, for that's why what Christ came to reveal from his Father, grace and mercy. And when he says, condemn not and judge not, the reason is that these are not the essentials of his kingdom, because the world is already judged. The world is already condemned. It came with the first sin that entered the world, and it came with birth to all who were born of Adam and Eve. So judgment and condemnation is the plight of the world under sin, but Jesus came to bring grace and mercy, to deal gently with sinners and to woo them to the grace that he would earn for us and all the world with his death on the cross. And as he is talking about the mission that these disciples and the church would share with him, he is therefore speaking about how they can enter into this ministry and mercy. When he says that the blind cannot lead the blind, he is telling them that by nature they are blind. They don't see the pitfalls that sin is going to bring into their lives. We often ignore those pitfalls and those things that we might trip into by death. And if we do not know the danger, we certainly don't know the way out. And so he is saying, if you would be valuable to the kingdom of God, before you try to remove the speck from your brother's eye, you need to remove your own spiritual blindness. And we cannot do that on our own. It's Christ who removes that blindness in order to reveal the brightness of his glory and the mercy of God. And so he says, before you try to convert anyone, you better yourself be converted so that you can understand this grace, so that you can understand the joy of being saved, so that you can understand the net that Christ puts under us that preserves us from the pit of death and hell, and having experienced that, to have some compassion, to see that others were in the same mess that you are in, and they have the same rescue in Jesus Christ, having the plank of sin removed from our eyes by the glory and mercy of God, we would then be equipped to share that mercy and good news with others. For all are perishing apart from Christ, and all are saved by the merit and mercy of Christ that comes to us from our Heavenly Father. Now, in order to illustrate this text, I would like to foray back to the Old Testament and share with you a story that you might be familiar with to illustrate a servant of God by the name of Elisha, who indeed had the plank removed from his eyes so that he could lead others not into the ditch, but to save them from the ditch and bring them to salvation. So from 2 Kings in the Old Testament chapter 6, this is in the kingdom of Israel, which is the northern kingdom of the divided kingdom. And the Israel is being attacked by the evil king of Syria by the name of Ben-Hadad. So from 2 Kings 6. So he, the evil king of Syria, said, go and see where he, that's the prophet Elisha, is, that I may send and get him. And it was told him, saying, surely he is in Dothan. Therefore he sent horses and chariots and a great army there, and they came by night and surrounded the city. And when the servant of the man of God arose early and went out, there was an army surrounding the city with horses and chariots. And his servant said to Elisha, "Alas, my master, what shall we do?" So Elisha answered, "Do not fear, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them." And Elisha prayed and said, "Lord, I pray, open his eyes that he may see." Then the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw. And behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. So when the Syrians came down to him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, "Strike this people, I pray, with blindness." And he struck them with blindness according to the word of Elisha. Now Elisha said to them, "This is not the way, nor is this the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man you seek." So he led them to Samaria. That's the capital of Israel, where the king and his army is. And so it was when they came to Samaria that Elisha said, "Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see." And the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw. And there they were inside Samaria. Now when the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, "My father, shall I kill them? Shall I kill them?" But he answered, "You shall not kill them. Would you kill those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set food and water before them, that they may eat and drink and go to their master." Then he prepared a great feast for them, and after they ate and drank, he sent them away, and they went to their master. So the bands of Syrian raiders came no more into the land of Israel. Elisha, this prophet, this story is about, had his eyes open. And we may just take a minute to recall one of the events that perhaps opened his eyes. You may recall that Elisha was the servant, the protege, the helper of the great prophet Elijah. And Elijah was such a great prophet that he had a showdown with the prophets, the false prophets of Baal on Mount Carmel. And in a single afternoon, all 700 prophets of the false god were defeated by mighty Elijah. So long as the word of God came to Israel in Elijah, there was a strength in the word of God that kept together the remnant, the few who had not departed from God in Israel, as Israel was succumbing to idolatry in those days. But so long as Elijah was there, there was good news from God and success for the nation for the sake of God's word. Now, God made it known that he was going to take Elijah from this earth. And normally that is done through death, although you may recall Elijah had a special departure from this world. But it was at that time when Elijah was definitely leaving that Elisha started to feel the pit under his feet. He had felt safe as long as the word of God was near him and with him and strong in Elijah. But as Elijah was leaving, he was becoming insecure. What are we believers going to do in this land without Elijah? What will happen to this nation? What will happen to me? The enemies around us are surrounding us, and without the strength of the word of God, what can we do? Now, that pit was always there. That's always the possibility that God's enemies are surrounding us, but he had been blind to that pit until God was here threatening to remove Elijah and the word of God. So it is that it is death that makes us fear. We feel secure and we don't see the pit. We don't see the spiritual danger of our sin until death comes. And in Elisha's case, it was the death or the departure of Elijah that he was worried about. Now, Elijah was a man of God, and he loved his servant, his protege, Elisha. And he says, "Elisha, I know you're bothered. Is there anything I could do for you before I leave?" And Elisha made a good request. He said, "Well, if the Spirit of the Lord and his word depart, we're in big trouble. So, Elijah, give me a double portion of your spirit." And Elijah says to Elisha, "You have asked a difficult thing," which means it's not mine to give. And you, nor me, nor anyone else can demand and say to God, I deserve that you would give me your spirit and your word. And with this, he is illustrating to Elisha that we are saved and God's word comes to us not because we deserve it and can demand it from him, but because God is love and he freely gives, but he in his freedom gives where and when he will. And so Elijah says to Elisha, I will ask of the Lord, but he will give you a sign. If he grants you your desire, and it is a good desire, if he's going to grant it to you, then when I depart, you will see me leave. And Elisha sticks by Elijah's side, and he goes to a desolate place, and a chariot of fire comes. And Elisha sees it. And Elijah climbs onto the chariot and goes whisking off into heaven. And Elisha is excited, not because he wants to see his master leave, but because he saw it. Because God was granting him what he wanted. And he says, Elijah, Elijah, Father, Father, the chariots of Israel. To let Elijah know as he's leaving that God is fulfilling this wonderful promise. And so you see, for Elisha, his eyes were open and the moat was taken away. He understood his danger as a sinner apart from the word of God. And his eyes were directed by Elijah to God. Not to Elijah, he couldn't give it, but to God who gives grace to those who are crushed by their sin and have no hope. God helps the helpless as he helps Elisha. And so, in our text, what's the context of this story? Well, the king of Syria, the king, has been raiding into Israel. But Elisha, doing his job as a prophet, is declaring to the king of Israel what the king of Syria is going to do one step ahead. So every time he goes, Israel is prepared. And Ben-Hadad says to his troops, we must have a spy in our troop. Someone's colluding with the enemy. And so the soldiers say, no, but we've heard there's a prophet who's there in Dothan. And he's the one that's speaking for the Lord and warning the king. And the king of Syria says, good, I'm going to send my troops. I'm going to take them out of there. And I'm going to take away the advantage that Israel has. And this is when these troops come around the city, and Elisha's servant wakes up in the morning, goes out to get water or whatever he's going to do, and he sees in the hills there are all kinds of soldiers and horses and chariots. And he comes back to his master and says, there's a whole troop out there, and it's just you and me against them. What are we going to do? And Elisha has his eyes open. He knows the situation. He knows God is God and they are not. And so he says to his servant, there are more with us than are against us. Your eyes see many troops, but the troops on our side are more numerous and stronger than they, even though you are blind and you cannot see it. And to give him more courage, he prays to the Lord. And by his prayer, the Lord answers, and the servant's eyes are open. And as Elisha saw one chariot take Elijah into heaven, he sees Elisha surrounded by these mighty chariots. And the fear must have dissipated completely from his heart. But God goes on and then treats his enemies. And surrounded by all these troops, Elisha makes a godly prayer. He says, all of these heathen are people who worship false gods. They are spiritually blind. They don't know what danger that they're in. There is a great speck or a plank in their eyes. Give them physical blindness because they are spiritually blind. And we will teach them, Lord. We will teach them. And so stricken blind, Elisha deceives the troops and he says, the guy you're looking for isn't here, but follow me and I will bring you to them. So these blind troops are going by trust in this voice that they're following, and they are brought into the midst of enemy territory. They are brought into the capital city where their enemy king is sitting in his power and where all of his troops are bristling. And they come into the middle of the city, and no doubt there were troops surrounding the troops that were sent by the Syrian king. And Elisha prays again, and they recover their sight. And as they look around, they are surrounded by death. They now are feeling the pit at their feet. They had felt safe and secure as idolaters going against the true God and his people. But now they see that their plight is sunk. And the king of Israel is evidently as confused as they are. Because there he is with all his troops. And he says to Elisha, "My father, my father." Now that's unusual for a prophet to be given such respect. But Elisha here is given respect. "Shall we kill him? Shall we kill him?" You can almost sound the edge. He wants to. These are the enemy. It's my job with my army to put them to death. But Elisha, as he sees the enemy in utter despair and at the mercy of death, what does he show? He shows the mercy of God. He says, "Is that how you treat people that have thrown down their weapons and are standing under yours? Aren't there protocols of war and cultural things that you ought to do? Feed them. Give them a feast. Let them enjoy your hospitality and send them home." You see, Elisha and God's mercy is not only for his friends, but it is for his enemies. And as his enemies return home, it says that the raiders from Syria never came again. Well, why not? Well, they knew they were outgunned, not by the army, not by the king, not even by the prophet, but the God who strikes with blindness and gives sight to the eyes. They know that there is a God in Israel, and they will not wrangle with him. And we, by charitable thoughts, hope that some of them may have come to faith, even there in the Old Testament, to know the true God and to understand his mercy, so that also their eyes, the plank from their eyes, would be removed, and they would know both their peril without God's word and their grace with God's word. We are also given a flaming chariot in a way. We and all the world are given a sight so that we can also with our eyes have our planks removed and see who and what God is. Chariots, I think, are usually made with metal and wood. The chariot I have in mind is made of wood. And as the fire was not seen, but by special dispensation of God, the fire of this chariot is also one not seen. We see a man dying, we see a man suffering, we hear a man saying, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And in these words, we hear the fire that is surrounding this chariot. It is the fire of God's wrath. Not because he is angry with this individual. He is innocent, and he is the prophet and the Son of God who was always carrying out God's word and being kind to everyone. But here he is in the consuming wrath of God. Why? Because he is bearing the sin of his enemies. He is bearing the sin of Adam and Eve and all of their children. And in this flame of God's wrath, we also see the vehicle that spins, that when we believe in this crucified one, when we see the peril of our sin, which he is suffering in our place, and when we see the goodness and love and mercy of the Lord being poured out in the blood of Jesus Christ, we have there the chariot with which we hook our faith, that we attach ourselves to that chariot so that not only Jesus is elevated and given a name above every name by his obedience to the Father and his saving us, but we are also exalted with him. That as he was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, free of our sins, which he suffered on the cross, we are also free with him. And as he is taken in the fiery chariot to heaven, we and all who believe in him, whether we are in the Old Testament like Elijah and Elisha or Moses, or whether we live in the New Testament, with all the saints of the Bible and Martin Luther and all of the heroes of faith that we might have. We are all saved by the grace of God. We know that without Him we would fall into the pit, but with Him we have mercy and grace. And being humbled on our own, understanding what we deserve, being humbled by the law and the pit that stretches out from us, we never take our eyes off of this Savior. We never take our heart and our faith away from this Savior and His gracious words, but we attach ourselves to Him so that being so attached, we indeed are saved. But that experience of knowing the terrible nature of our sin makes it so that we're not going to be hypocrites. That when we look at those who are failing and falling, the blind people who are walking around securely with that pit stretched out, that only by God's grace they are avoiding this, and that all of the people they are following are leading them into that pit, do we have hatred for these people, or do we have compassion? Do we look with the compassion of our Heavenly Father upon their plight and where they are going and where their leaders are taking them? Do we condemn them and judge them, or do we say to them, you may be a sinner, but I know my sin is greater than yours, but the Lord has helped me with mine, and He would help with yours. Can we be those that bear God's word with God's own compassion to those who are walking off into the pit under the judgment of God, to show them the chariot, to show them the cross of Jesus Christ, to by the power of the Holy Spirit give them the offer of salvation so that by that means of that chariot, God can create faith and new life in them, no longer with spiritual blinders, but with the blinders off, knowing our peril, but knowing better our Savior, Jesus Christ, our Lord. May we humbly try to help those who are yet perishing, that they may also see the glory of salvation in Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. And may the peace that gives us that surpasses all understanding, then keep our hearts and our minds in true faith in Christ Jesus, our Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.